Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. The Reporter is a local newspaper that covers issues in Delaware County and the Catskill region in general, the towns and villages in our region. And Joan Lawrence Bauer is a reporter for that paper, and I'm delighted to have her on Health Center in the Catskills to talk about some of the issues and stories that the paper covered in the last few weeks. And Joan, thank you so much for coming on to Health Center today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
It's great. So, I want to start with, I understand you have a little inside information about what happened with the school budgets. I just voted yesterday in the town of Roxbury. And tell us a little bit about the outcome of the those elections, or the votes on the budgets, and
sure.
Electing of school board members.
Sure. So we'll start with the budget. That's an interesting story. Sadly, in Roxbury, the budget was voted down. 150 people said no, and 133 people said yes. And also voted down in Roxbury was a Capitol building project. Now, Roxbury has a long history of struggles with Capitol building projects, but this one, to many, seems like not too big and not too tough, but not to the community. 202 people voted against it, as opposed to 79 people who voted for it. Interestingly, there was no race for the school board seat in Roxbury.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Winnie ran unopposed for a five-year seat, and 201 people endorsed her candidacy. In Andes, there was no controversy whatsoever. The budget passed, and Kelly Bauer was reelected to the board with no opposition. And in Gilboa, the budget passed with one contested board seat. Jackie McGuire earned 97 votes, and Aurora Cornell earned 57. The reason I bring these up, South Courtright passed its budget easily. It had three seats open on its school board, and three people ran, so there was no contest there. In Stanford and in Jefferson, both schools rejected their budgets, but again, there was no people running for the board. So what we're seeing in a lot of these schools is a lot of dissatisfaction with what the boards are doing, but an unwillingness to step up and run.
Yeah.
In Margaretville, that was not the case.
You stepped up.
I actually did step up and run in the school board election there. I was defeated by Doris Warner, who is a 12-year incumbent school board president. In addition to Doris running and myself, there was a write-in candidate who got a significant number of votes, Jennifer Amundson. Amundson, interestingly, ran for the board last year and might have won, but there was an election irregularity with the ballot last year, and many felt that the election should have been rerun. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the election irregularity, they let the results stand. So Amundson ran a writing campaign this time.
Yeah.
But Doris Warner was the incumbent board president and did win. The school budget passed resoundingly. Mm-hmm. A resolution to tax themselves to the tune of $245,000 a year to cover the cost of libraries in Fleischmann's and Margaretville pass,
okay.
And two new buses will be purchased in Margaretville as a result of the election last night.
Wow.
It's really an interesting thing to look at.
It is. And I'm struck by there are some towns that embraced the budget, supported it, and others that didn't. Was there a reason that you can discern for why, for example, Roxbury's budget didn't pass?
Well, people think that it's just too much money. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, a month or so ago, five schools in the area, Roxbury, Stamford, South Courtright, Gilboa, and Jefferson, announced that they were in talks about consolidation. Mm-hmm. And three of those five budgets were defeated. So I think that says a lot about what people are looking for and maybe hoping for. Nobody ever wants to close their school. And I think that as these five schools look at what to consolidate, they're looking very creatively. They're not just talking about merging school districts. They're looking at how can they share programs? How can they share campus facilities? What can they do in their little core group to bring down the cost through shared services without necessarily merging their districts? And I think that's a positive conversation.
Yeah, and I think living in Roxbury, what I was hearing also was that the capital budget was the harder sell, and that may have resulted in the actual operational budget not getting the support that it needed. But in any case, where the budgets didn't pass, so there will be what happens next?
There are, each board has three choices. They can represent the same budget. They can amend the numbers and present a slightly smaller budget. Or they can move immediately to a contingency budget. Whatever they do, they basically have 2 weeks to announce it. And then if there's another vote, it will happen the third Tuesday in June.
I see.
That is prescribed by the state of New York.
Great.
Now, interestingly, the Stamford budget was rejected by just two votes, 75 to 73. So they might put the same budget up and just push a little harder to get it passed.
Yeah. Now, there may be some listeners who are asking, well, why are we talking about school budgets on a health program? And I want to just point out that education is one of the major social determinants of health. If you don't have high-quality education, you don't have children who are able to thrive, you don't have families who are able to thrive, and you are not investing in the economic development and well-being of your community. So it's a really important topic. I'd like to tackle another topic about, you just did a piece on the blueprint for a changing watershed, and I wondered if you could talk a little bit about this. This is about our environment. It also ties in, I think, with some of the issues that we're dealing with around solar farms and solar laws. What can you tell us about this one?
Well, this one is one that I have been covering for quite a while now. It's a very complicated topic, but the city of New York has a longstanding agreement with the West of Hudson Watershed Community. And this agreement was first signed in 1997 after a decade of negotiations, which were ultimately brokered by George Pataki to get the two groups to come to an agreement. That basic agreement has been renewed four times. And the fourth supplemental agreement was signed in December. Now, the agreement is what has always allowed the city of New York to buy land in the Catskills and turn it into forever wild parcels that can never be developed. And all of those land buys have been controversial over the years. In the town of Shandaken, which is in both the watershed and the Catskill Forest Preserve, I think more than 90% of their land is publicly owned now. leaving very little for the private sector and no development and no way to really improve the tax base. And that has played out in similar ways in Delaware County towns because most of the watershed is in Delaware County. So in December, a new agreement was signed, and there are some fascinating provisions that I, for one, never thought I would see in an agreement with the city of New York. One of the parts of this agreement says that the city of New York will go into partnership with Delaware County on renewable energy, and that the DEP and Delaware County agree to explore those renewable energy opportunities and projects on city-owned property within Delaware County.
What would be the motivation for the counties to want to do something on the New York, allow something like a solar farm on the New York City-owned land?
You have to remember that the county never wanted the city to be able to buy up all that land. That's what the big argument was about. The county officials and the town officials always felt that the city of New York was buying way too much land and taking it off the tax rolls. And they objected to this strenuously over the years. Well, now here's an agreement where we might get some of that land back on the tax rolls by putting renewable energy on. Whether that's a good idea or not is yet to be determined, but there are many, many people in the region who think that is a very bad idea. And they do not want to see renewable energy, which is generally translated as solar panels, on what was supposed to be forever wild city-owned land. And it was theoretically land that was bought near water courses to protect the water. And so now the thought of installing solar panels, which many scientists say leak into the land below them, is anathema to what people want in the region.
So Joan, I have to say, what I don't understand is why would New York City want to put solar farms up here where we don't get a whole lot of sun rather than on the rooftops of New York City buildings?
Well, that is a question for New York City. I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know what motivated this. I can only guess, as I just was, about the county's motivation. But the fact of the matter is that this is what this agreement says that they're going to do. And so I did speak personally with the commissioner of the DEP about this in Hamden on May the 12th. And the commissioner, along with a number of other officials within the region, including, for example, Jason Merwin, who's the head of the Catskill Watershed Corporation. They say the city only has plans to install solar panels where they already have installations. So in other words, they do plan to install solar panels on the massive sewage treatment plant in the town of Middletown, right here in Margaretville. Yeah. They have plans to install solar panels on other sewage treatment plants and other kinds of facilities where they already have built infrastructure. And when I spoke with Lisa Garcia, the new commissioner of the DEP, she told me that's the extent of the plan. And that may be the extent of the plan right now. But when you read an agreement designed to last for 10 years, that says they are going to explore partnership opportunities on renewable energy projects on city-owned property, it does make people a little frightened. It goes on to say that Delaware County's objectives are the adaptation necessary for electrification of building, heating, and travel, access to affordable renewable energy, protecting farmland and protecting property with utility infrastructure as developable land. But I don't think most people around here see solar farms and solar panels as protection.
So, Joan, I know that Markerville issued a moratorium on approving any new solar developments. Excuse me. I assume that's by outside organizations. I'm not sure of that. But
Margaretville did place a moratorium on commercial solar installations. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about you putting solar panels on the top of your house.
Okay.
We're talking about of a scale size commercial solar, which is to be for sale. Margaretville put a moratorium on it after approving a project in Arkville, which has come under huge criticism as people are going by on Route 28 and seeing the clear cutting of the acreage for that installation.
Yes.
So now Margaretville has a moratorium, as does Andes, Colchester, Walton, and maybe one or two other towns. Now, they will spend the next 6 months to a year writing laws to control solar development, not to prevent it, but to at least try to control where it goes in the community and how big it can be and those kinds of things. Mm. Other towns are not doing anything. And, for example, over in Harper Field and Stamford, they're experiencing major solar installations which might have detrimental effects. Places like Roxbury have no moratorium, but they don't have any planning laws for anything, so that's not unusual.
And so what do people need to keep their eyes out for on this issue?
Well, one thing they can keep their eyes out for is that the city gave itself 6 months to study its properties and look and see where things might go. Now, the counties were also supposed, Delaware County was also supposed to do the same thing. In this particular thing, they're referring to a different part of the agreement, which calls for land swapped, where the communities have city-owned land, and they'd like to use it, and they'd like to swap that land for an equal amount of land that the city has. In any event, within the next month or so, we're going to start seeing lists of properties that both the city and the town might think are developable. And I think that's going to be insightful.
Yeah.
Other than that, in every town, people have to get busy with their moratoria. In the end, the state of New York is going to decide for them, whether they like it or not, because the state has established an office called the Office of Renewable Energy Services, Office of Renewable Energy Siting, and that office doesn't answer to anybody. They do not answer to the DEC. They do not answer to any other state agency, and they have, by law, the right to determine where these installations can be. Now, the towns are hoping that if they have stringent enough local laws, that when ORAs is making these decisions, that they will go to the areas that don't have any local laws. But that's to be determined at a future date.
That's an important point for those of us in Roxbury to pay attention to, for sure. Yes.
It is.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on. We didn't get over as many things as I had hoped we would, but I think one of the things that Joan and I have talked about is the idea of having a monthly update from the reporter on Health Center and the Catskills. And between Joan and I, we would select what issues to cover. And as long as I can make that health connection, we would talk about it. And I also want to say that I get a number of newspapers and read a number of newspapers newspapers, whether in print or online. And I have to say, in this age of the loss of local news in many communities, newspapers in many communities, I think you and Lillian Brown at The Reporter are doing a wonderful job of covering in depth some of these really important issues. And I want to thank you, Joan Lawrence Bauer, not only for coming on to Health Center and the Catskills today, but for the great work that you're doing. So we will follow up and talk about the next time you come on. Maybe we need a little bit more time. Thank you, Joan.
Sounds great. Thank you, Diana. Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Really good to have community members who are paying attention to the issues that are going on in our community, and to have these local newspapers. We know that communities that have local newspapers tend to pay more attention to what's going on locally. They tend to engage more, and they tend to have more community bonds. So it's really important work.